Internet radio.
Cauldron FM, the sound of magic.
Enter Merlin, but beware. Do not interrupt his magic.
Magical. Merlin.
Merry meet. I am the Merlin, and welcome to the second programme where we look at the magic of Wicca, witches and witchcraft. So let's begin today by examining the magic of Wicca and start off with a question. What is real magic? Magic is another word for transformation, creation and manifestation. Wicca magic is a tool we use to act on the subtle or energy or quantum level of reality. The quantum level is the causal realm. It is the subtle influences at the quantum level that decide which way reality will go. So if you want to manifest something into ordinary reality, you start by stimulating the quantum realm to favour that potentiality. This is real magic in action. Science has known since early in the last century that the material world is made up not of matter, but of energy. And while matter is fairly stable, energy is very fluid. So it is difficult to build a house or job or lover with your bare hands if the causal realm hasn't already foreseen these things. But it is much easier to create an energy wave that will lead you to a house or job or lover coming to you. Of course, you will still need to use your body to manifest them. That's what real magic is all about.
Cauldron FM.
Online.
The sound of magic.
In magic, we transform our reality and ourselves to match our choices. And of course, Wicca magic is a key component to the Wiccan religion. Working magic is what witchcraft is all about. What would Wicca be without magic? In fact, the standard explanation for the origin of the words witch and Wicca is that they are both derived from wick, which means to shape or bend, as in Wicca furniture. While anything claiming to be historical is doubtful, the fact that we explain the world this way tells us a lot about Wicca, that its essence is transformation. Magic is at the heart of Wicca. In fact, it's so integral to Wiccan philosophy that it's hard to imagine Wicca separate from magic.
I was actually going to tell you on our Thanksgiving Day that you were one of the things I was thankful for and how much Cauldron FM has and does still mean to me. I listen to it often and it's like coming home. Cauldron FM, where the magic really happens.
Jovana dea, lavana do, arriba da, palanea. giovane dea, lavanatore, verità. Parla dea, giovane dea, lavanatore, verità.
Do I have to work magic to be a Wiccan? Of course not. No more than you have to be a priest to be a Christian. Although at some point you'll likely recognise that you are working magic all the time, consciously or not. Everyone is. Wicca is a powerful spiritual path, with or without spellcasting. In fact, on the more advanced levels, as your power to manifest your visions increases, you may spontaneously need to do fewer spells or none at all. Still, the concept of taking responsibility for your life and manifesting your dreams underlies all Wiccan philosophy. When you have the power to manifest what you need and want in life, you are no longer a victim in any sense. You know that you are the creator of your life, good and bad. You have called it, and you can change the channel whenever you choose. You are literally empowered. And that is a core goal and result of the practice of Wicca magic spells.
Cauldron FM.
Around the planet on the World Wide Web.
The sound of magic.
Wicca magic, shaping and bending. Wicca magic is like spiritual aerobics. All that bending really gets you into good spiritual shape. What Wicca magic shapes is reality. What it bends is your mind. In the film The Matrix, the little boy tells Neo, "Do not try and bend the spoon, that's impossible. Instead, only try to realise the truth. There is no spoon. Then you will see that it is not the spoon that bends, it is only yourself." In working magic, we must first change our perception of reality. And then reality will happily conform to our perception. Now the next track that I'm going to play is by Appalachian Gypsy rock band Tuatha De Ayre. The first time I heard them, I was captivated by their sound and their image. This is the first of two tracks I will be playing by them, and it is called Long Black Curl. Thank you.
You're listening to The Merlin on Cauldron FM, the sound of magic.
Welcome back. Now let's proceed by looking at spirituality and magic. In broader terms, every spiritual practice is magical. Spiritual practice is really shaping your mind and emotions to align with your soul. Since your soul is what is most true about you, and what is true is the divine, this means that spiritual practice is a path of bringing you closer to the divine through polishing away what is false in you, beliefs, history, desires, etc. This is an act of transformation, and magic is a transformational process. The mechanics of making magic, though, differ greatly from witchcraft to Wiccan spirituality. Spirituality versus sorcery. Traditional witchcraft, sorcery and such use arcane rituals and spells, often calling elemental beings to do the work. Personally, I don't recommend this practice. Quite the contrary, the dangers can be great. Elementals are living beings. They do not exist to serve human desires, but to fulfill their own purposes. To coerce them into servitude is not only unethical, it is unwise. Think about it. They are more powerful in many ways than humans. That's why sorcerers use them to work magic, and they are not happy being manipulated. Would you want to make an enemy who has all too real magical power? Even scarier, other dangers of sorcery are subtle. The effects are difficult to notice until they're well advanced, sometimes making it extremely difficult to turn around. Sorcery is hostile magic, magic as force and coercion. The practice of black magic costs much more than it gains. Don't be seduced by its too-good-to-be-true hype. It's a dangerous lie.
Cauldron FM, the sound of magic.
Music, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year.
Magic in Wicca spirituality is very different. It is the process of tapping into the natural creative power of the universe and channeling it to fulfill a chosen intention. This is aligning oneself with divine purpose. We are fashioned to be co-creators of reality, not as manipulators of other beings, but as artists of life. Spiritual magic is co-creation with the divine creator of all. Let me just say here, that the way I use this term in this broadcast, Wicca magic, always refers to spiritual magic rather than sorcery. Now let's have a listen to the second track by Tuatha De Ha. And this one is a fabulous track, and it's called The Hum and the Shiver.
Me, you're too. when the big black book of magic was invented, it was inspired by a true magician.
Hi, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to The Merlin, and I'm in conversation with a lady called Becky Head. And Becky, I believe that you run an organisation called The Witch's Shop. Is that correct?
Yes, that's me.
That's you. Okay. So, doing a little bit of research and that sort of thing, I've found out a bit about you. But one of the things that I always like to ask people when I start an interview with them is, who exactly are you?
Who exactly am I? Well, now there's a difficult question, isn't it? Who am I? I'm a mother, I'm a housewife, I'm all the usual kind of things, and I'm relatively normal and quite boring, I think. And then as a sideline, well, it's not a sideline, but as well as that, I'm a witch as well, so there's not really a lot else to it other than that.
Okay. Now, if I'm correct then, going back to your early history, much like my own, you started life in the Christian faith.
I did, yes. I was brought up actually in the Salvation Army and was a regular, good on, proper, full on Bible basher until about the age of, I don't know, about 17, I think. I went to Sunday school and I was in the choir and I played a tambourine and I marched the streets and all the other things that people in the Salvation Army do. So yes, that was where it all started for me.
Right, okay. But weren't there at some point in that sort of those early years, weren't there some sort of indications that something wasn't, so we say, the norm?
Absolutely. As a child, I was always classed as being quite aloof and a little bit away with the fairies, which now I think is quite normal. But at the time, it wasn't normal. I was supposed to be a Christian, and believing in fairies and unicorns and all those kind of fluffy things was quite often frowned upon. But it just didn't make sense, this God figure that floats around in the clouds, and as long as you do what he says, you're all okay, and even if you don't do what he says, as long as you say sorry, he lets you off. And it just didn't really make sense. It just all seemed a bit weird in my small world.
So at that very tender age then, fairy tales, magic, dragons, all that sort of thing were playing a part in your life, shall we say?
Yes, I like my dragons, and I still like them now, to be fair.
What's wrong with liking dragons?
Absolutely, they're good.
Okay, so then, how did life progress from there onwards then?
I think it just sort of, I slowly fizzled out of the Salvation Army kind of route, and then one day stumbled into a hippie type of shop, as I like to, as always called it. And there I just felt so at home there. Everything seemed to, you know, they had incense and fairies and dragons and all the things that as a child I was kind of tried to be kept away from. And I just kind of found it so interesting and so fascinating that eventually I just kind of thought it just made more sense. And I kind of discovered the witchcraft and paganism and all those other different paths. And just I've looked into them ever since, and they just seem to be more realistic than the Christian one, and yeah, they just hold a lot more truer to me than anything else.
And one of the things that I know that you said, and I'm going to quote you exactly here, you said they weren't weird people, they weren't funny looking with pointy noses, they didn't have children in cages, and they weren't at all scary.
That's the one. I did say that, absolutely.
You did, yes.
Yeah, that's true. And they don't. Only there are a few weird people out there, but, you know, they're weird looking no matter what faith they are. I mean, but, yeah, they're not generally witches that have pointy noses. And there's just all sorts of humans have all kind of weird-shaped noses. But, yes, and they don't keep any children in cages.
So you started to collect candles and anathemas and pentagrams and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think you actually sort of came up with a revelation at that point, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was just kind of, it was a bit, not necessarily a eureka moment, but I kind of, it was, I suppose, a eureka moment in that it was just an instant kind of, right, I'm no longer going to be Christian. I'm going to go down this path of being a witch, and I'm going to take it from there and see where I end up, really. So, yeah, I guess that's pretty much how it went.
Yeah. I mean, I think sort of from my perspective, when I discovered that this was the path I wanted to travel, it was sort of a light bulb moment for me, and it was a case of, it all makes sense, this, whereas the other stuff doesn't make any sense whatsoever, which you alluded to before.
Yes.
And so it was as if somebody had turned a light bulb on for me, and I thought, yeah, now I know what it's all about. I haven't learnt it all, and I still haven't learnt it all. But
no, absolutely.
I've learnt a lot more now.
Yeah.
So, again, I sort of shared your sort of thoughts, you know, that this was great. I mean, it was the answer to what, everything I've been looking for. Now, I believe that you've also sort of run into a bit of family sort of opposition to your beliefs as well. You know, they still,
I mean,
still classify you as being a bit of a nutcase and daydreamer and all that sort of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my brother is probably still the most religious person in the family, and I think he's fairly convinced that I'm going to burn in hell. But, you know, I'm not really that fussed, to be fair. I don't believe in hell for a start, so.
Well, exactly.
It's not really an issue. But yeah, I think they all still think I'm a little bit weird, but I'm okay with that. Weird is fun.
So now you then, as we move forward, I believe you bought yourself a Book of Shadows.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Your comment at the having said that was, and my journey had begun.
Yes. I should have reread what I wrote before coming here, shouldn't I, really? It has. Oh, well, I've had several Book of Shadows since then, to be fair. I've got all sorts. My first one was actually just a little, like, 62 pence exercise book or whatever it was, which I filled up in about 3 days, I think. So, yeah, I've moved on since then, and they've got bigger and bigger and a little bit more expensive as well, to be fair.
Uh-huh.
But yes, they're all quite full up, and I was just thinking about buying a new one, actually. Yeah. But yes, my journey has begun, and it's, you know, it's not even halfway through yet, because there's so much more for me to learn. There's so many different paths to look at, different traditions, and I don't have a tradition that I follow, so I'm still very much into looking at them all, really, and taking bits from here, there, and everywhere, until one day I might find a path that I want to follow wholeheartedly. But we shall see. Who knows?
Don't you think, though, that just taking that point further, a little bit further, that because we are pagans and because we follow this path that we're on, there's nobody actually telling us what we have to follow. So the beauty of it is that we can find our own route through this.
Absolutely. I think that's one of the things I really love about the paganism. Instead of Salvation Army is obviously incredibly regimented and structured, and there's rules and there's hierarchy, and it's all very official. So to me, coming from that to the paganism has been like this big amount of freedom where I can, you know, essentially do what I like and pick the bits I like, pick the bits that suit my lifestyle and my mood, as it were. So I love that freedom that paganism gives you. There are still a few, you know, traditions out there which are very strict in their rules, but I don't tend to follow that one, so it doesn't really cause me too much problem.
And that's one of the things that I like about Wicca and Wiccan beliefs, is that, you know, the Wiccan read is brilliant, isn't it? Lest that harm none do what thou will.
Absolutely. You can't get it much more simply than that, can you, really?
Absolutely not. I think it's absolutely a brilliant way of living your life and a brilliant philosophy.
Definitely.
And I think also you've got to be, and I'm sure I'm echoing your sentiments here, that to be on this path, shall we say the path of no path, because it doesn't have a set route, you've got to be comfortable in your own skin. You've got to be happy with your own company. I mean, like you say, there are ways you can go where you don't have to be alone. But for me, I feel that being solitary is where my destiny lies.
Yeah, me too, absolutely. I mean, I've always been solitary. I've never been in a coven. I've been in a few groups here, there and everywhere. And I do open rituals and I've had moots. But it's never been a traditional coven where, you know, you're kind of like a family. And I think everybody should at some point really be solitary, because you get to learn so much about yourself that way, and you get to learn what you want, and you get to learn, you know, how you want to do things, and you do, you figure out who you are and what makes you tick, what makes you work, and how you're comfortable doing things. So I think being solitary is a very good, it's something I think everybody should give it a go at least once, even if it's not for a great deal of time. Mm. It's definitely worth it. And I still don't think I'll ever be in a proper coven, because it's just not for me. I am happy with my own company, and yeah, I get on with myself most of the time.
So. It's awful when you're out with yourself, though, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? Especially when you lose.
Absolutely. So, you say also that... you discovered that the moon spoke to you, or appeared to speak to you. Can you sort of elaborate a little bit on that one?
Yeah, I think it was just when you're sort of outside and you're in nature and you kind of look up at the moon, it just seems to fill you with such, an energy that you don't really always necessarily notice in other things around you. And it just, it's as if it's speaking to you, and it just fills you with everything you need. It fills you with the love and passion that you need to, you know, to carry on your daily life, or night life as it is with the moon. And I think it's just that sort of point of view, really. You look at it and you can just see the beauty of it, and it just fills you with such awe and everything else that it's just, it says so many things without saying any words, that it's quite emotional sometimes, if that makes any sense at all.
Well, yeah, again, it makes perfect sense to me. I do get where you're coming from on that. So moving forwards then, one of the other things that you've said is that you like to incorporate, I've got to read this, martial arts, not marital arts, but martial arts.
Yes, absolutely.
I was running through this afternoon and I thought, marital arts? No, that can't be right.
No, none of them involved, no. Yeah, so, the martial arts, absolutely. I started martial arts when I was about, 12, 13, something like that. I was quite young, which is obviously really good for discipline, which I think as a solitary practitioner, you do need discipline. And I think what you do in everything, really, you need discipline. But also the chi side of the martial arts is something that I have found passed over quite a lot into my witchcraft practices. Because it's chi is the same energy that we use when creating circles, or, you know, all our intent and visualization is done with that same power. So it kind of helped that I'd already done that aspect of it, and could easily transfer it into what I do now. And the same with the having that dedication to something. It's, you know, it's there, it's inbuilt from the martial arts. So I think it did help a little bit into... to get me along my way, as it were.
Mm-hmm. So then you sort of, as we move forward, you said you've learned to read the tarot, and that you found that a lot of people have asked you to do readings for them, and you've been involved in scrying and all that sort of thing. So again, would you sort of have a favourite tarot deck and all that sort of, you know, just elaborate a little bit more on that.
Oh, I do. I have my mother gave me a set of tarot cards. My mother was a Buddhist, so she had the Osho Zen Buddhist tarot cards, which she passed down to me after she passed away. And they're such beautiful cards as well. And they do have little words on the bottom which make it...
I lost that bit. Can you go for that one again?
A little bit easier.
We're having a little bit of sound issues here. Are you still hearing me?
Yeah, I'm just about hearing you, but it's gone a bit fuzzy.
Yeah, basically, I sort of lost you there partway through the description of the tarot deck.
Ones, they're Buddhist. They've got some amazing illustrations on them. Some of them are a little bit weird, but, you know, that's generally tarot cards for you. And they're just, you know, they're so easy to use, and they've always been my favourite. And I keep trying to go to the Rider-Waite or other ones, but I can't get the right connection with any others. So I think it'll always be the Osho's Zen tarot cards for me. And they're very much in the now as well, and I quite like the in the now sense of things.
Yeah. I mean, I've sort of looked at the Rider-Waite for my own use, and no, they don't sort of gel with me either, I've got to say. But one of the set of cards that I was given at the weekend was a friend of mine, a girl called Delphine. She's done an Oracle of Proverbs set of her own, and they are fantastic. They're really, really good. So I'm sort of playing with those at the moment as well. Anyway, the next thing that you talk about in your blurb that we've worked with is discovering Glastonbury. And I mean, again, I sort of discovered Glastonbury in sort of the late 80s, early 90s for what it is. And I'd be interested to know how the fabulous place sort of affected you.
It was just like being a kid in a sweet shop, really. Every shop's got fairies and crystals and dragons, and it was like, I don't know, it was like lots of Christmases all at once, I suppose. It was just amazing. And it's such, even the people there are just, you know, they're just milling around and having coffee, and just even people are on the street selling their own bundles of smudge, and it's just such a lovely place. It was so friendly. Everybody in all the shops are amazing, and just all the shops, I could spend so much money in Glastonbury. So I try not to go there too often. need to take out a lot of bank loans to do that. But yeah, so it's just an amazing place. And obviously Glastonbury tour is just, the feeling when you go up the tour is just breathtaking and gobsmacking, really. It's just amazing. I love it.
Absolutely incredible. And I mean, I sort of found out about Burley a couple of years ago as well. I didn't realise that was of the same vein.
Oh yeah, definitely. Burley's lovely as well because it's such a quaint little village, and you know, donkeys come along and nick your ice cream if you're not careful. And it's so small, and it's got such history to it as well. And I'm not particularly up on the history of Burley, but it's just such a lovely little place, and all the shops there as well, you know. They were similar to Glastonbury, but I think they sell more tea towels than Glastonbury do.
So,
but they are lovely tea towels. So, but it is, it, yeah, if you like donkeys, nicking your eyes.
So anyway, moving sort of more up to date then, your online shop, The Witch's Shop, how did that come about?
Well, I'm sure when I was a kid, there used to be a couple of shops in Southampton where you could buy your incense and your hippie clothes and all those kind of things from. But over the years, they've just kind of vanished. And now I think there's actually only one. So it kind of became quite challenging to source all the things that I wanted, and thought, well, surely if I'm having this issue, then so is everybody else. So I just thought, you know, it was a good idea to set one up and see what happens. And that way it means, you know, I can provide all my friends that, not that I haven't got many friends in that are into witchcraft particularly, but the few I have got, you know, they've got somewhere to go that they know it's there and they know who it is. So it's quite like a keeping the local business going as well. So yeah, so that was sort of that really. And I like it. I enjoy doing it as well. So it's good.
So do you find it very, very tying, or is it, because it's online, it's a lot easier than sort of having a physical shop?
I think because it's online, obviously, I don't have to go anywhere every day. I don't have to be there from 9 till 5, so I can still do my other stuff. So it's not massively tiring, which is nice. Occasionally, I get a bit panicky if I get too many orders and can't quite figure out what I'm doing and I get confused. But, you know, that's what pen and paper's for, to write it all down. So it's quite good. But I do the occasional stalls as well, which is so much fun because you get to meet so many different people and go all over the show. And that's always good fun as well. So I like that too.
Right. Excellent. Well, I'm going to go into Uncharted Waters now because I've finished reading through your piece in Pagan Paths. And I'm going to now go into sort of freefall, shall we say. Southampton Witches, tell me about that.
That was a similar thing to setting up the witches shop, really. I kind of felt very much, although I didn't want to be in a coven, I didn't want to be alone at the same time. And I didn't really know, I just didn't know any other witches. I didn't know how to contact them. And, you can't just Google, where's my local witch, please. You don't tend to get much of a list from that. So I thought, well, there must be other people out there in a similar position that, could, for all I know, live next door. So I set up the Southampton Witches and just to get people together, really. It wasn't necessarily to be anything big and massive. It was just to see who was where and see who wanted to, get together every now and then and do the occasional rituals and moots and things like that. And it seems to have grown a little quicker than I first anticipated, which is a good thing. And I've met some amazing people through it as well, which has been really nice. So it's all good so far.
So when you say about getting together and doing rituals, is that something that happens monthly, or is there any...
Every month.
Yeah.
Every month we do a full moon ritual every month, and we do that all over the show. And we do it in Southampton, we do it in Portsmouth, we've been to Silbury Hill. So we try and, I don't like to stay in one place. So we do travel around a bit to anywhere we can think of that looks like a good place to do it. So, yes, we do that every month. And next year, I think we're going to start doing a few more of the Sabbat rituals, but we'll see how that goes.
Okay. So the one other thing that I want to talk to you about very briefly is WitchNet. Is that one of yours as well? Or?
It is, yes. It's me and a friend of mine, Red, who's been pagan for I don't know how many years. We seem to come across quite a few people. Since doing the Southampton Witches, I've met quite a lot of people that are just beginning and don't really know where to go. Once again, they don't want to be in covens. There's lots of solitaries out there who have always been solitary and they want to find somewhere who will help them and help to teach them, and not even necessarily teach them the right way of doing it, but show them where to look, as it were. So we thought, well, why not set up a school? And then we're going to start running workshops, and just in the, to start off, it'll be all in the basics. And but as the school sort of grows and as more and more people get interested, we'll delve into the subjects a little bit deeper. But that is mainly, it's just to get people started, really, so that they know, the basics and how to attend a ritual without feeling silly and what the point of it is and those kind of simple things.
Yeah and sort of casting circles, calling corners, all that.
And the cleansing and grounding, because so many people go to rituals and they've got no idea what's going on. They stand there and then they go, oh, okay then, and then they go home again, and it's all a bit wishy-washy. So we thought it'd be nice for people to actually know the whole point of what they're doing and why.
Yeah, well, that's great. So how would people enrol in that then? Because there are obviously going to be people that maybe sort of think that's a great idea. Well, you seem to have gone a bit quiet at the minute.
Yep. At the moment, we've only got a face. Am I back yet?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Hello. Yep. where did you get to?
Right. You stared at the moment and then I lost you.
All right. Yeah. So we've got the Facebook group at the moment, and we're getting a website coming soon, within a few days. So at the moment, people just to enrol in the school at the moment is just to join the Facebook group, really, if they want to, and then take it from there. At the moment, we're only doing courses that are actually held in a place. But once the website's up and running, we'll get started with online courses as well for people that live a little further away.
Okay.
So that's the plan.
Right. So Facebook address for that then is?
It's www.facebook.com/groups/witchnet.
And is that's with a Y, isn't it?
I think in the address it's actually only with an I, because I did it wrong the first time.
Ah, right, okay. Yes, so that's how to get onto Witchnet.
Yes.
Southampton Witches, if there's anybody that's listening to this that feels that they want to join within that organisation, how do they do that one?
Yep, that's the same. The Facebook group, www.facebook.com/the Southampton Witches. I do like straightforward, simple names. Easy to remember.
Yep. And the Witches Shop. And before you shout at me, I do know that I've still got to do your advert. Don't worry.
I was listening to it earlier and I thought, oh, that's a really old advert, actually. The Witches Shop is www.thewitchesshop.com. Another simple name to remember.
So, I mean, I'm happy that we've covered quite a lot here. Is there anything that you'd like to add at all?
Oh, I don't think so, but I must come and visit someone.
Yes, it would be really, really cool. So, it's been great talking to you, and despite the little problems that we've had. And thank you ever so much.
Thank you very much as well. It's been lovely to chat to you.
Oh, and by the way, well, just a bit of gratuitous publicity for me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm still looking for far more contributors to Pagan Paths.
Ah, yes, I will bump up the post again in the Southampton Witches and the Witches Shop for you.
Fantastic. Thank you very, very much.
Pleasure.
And I'll speak to you again soon.
Yep, speak to you again later.
Okay, blessed be.
Blessed be.
Cauldron FM.
Around the planet on the World Wide Web.
The sound of magic.
Well, sadly, time has beaten us once again. So if you want to get in touch with Cauldron FM, please drop us an email to cauldronfm@mail.com. I'd like to say thank you very much to everybody that's contributed, including Becky from the Witch's Shop. Fantastic to speak to you. I'll look forward to talking to you again sometime in the not-too-distant future. In the meantime, have a wonderful day. And this is the Merlin saying bye for now and blessed be.
Cauldron FM is a Moonshadow Media production.
Yes, one take!